Again, I am so happy to be here. I'm humbled.
Amen.
That I've been selected this week to stand in the gateway. I realize tonight how blessed I am. I realize that I serve an awesome God. I realize tonight that I haven't done enough for God. I realize tonight that God is a merciful God. He's a good God. He's an awesome God. A compassionate God. I realize tonight that we all need to really, really, really get to know the Holy Spirit. Today I had a wonderful time. I went out with Brother Leggett and not Brother Leggett, just Brother Loma. You know, they look alike, they act alike. So. But I went out with Brother Lomas and Brother Demps, and we went aboard the Midway downtown, and we had such a great time. And I went back to the hotel room, and I began to think about this meeting. I began to think about the church. I know Sunday and Monday I've talked a lot about the Holy Spirit and His presence being missed.
That's needed, brother. That's sure needed.
And I'm not, don't think I'm standing up here apologizing for anything that I've said.
Oh, brother, appreciate it.
But what I realized was this, that this gift that we talked about all week, something had to take place before I, let me speak for me, before I could have this gift. My Lord and my Savior had to go to the cross.
Amen.
And I thought about, I said, Lord, how could you do that for me? And then I said, God, I know what you did and I know how you did it. I realize what the text and what the word of God says. And so I thought about it for a moment and I said, you know what? He had to die. So that I could live.
Amen.
He had to die so that you could live.
Yeah.
And I thought about it. And so I said, tonight I'm going to change course on the church a little bit. I'm going to still preach the hell out of you. But I'm going to change a little course tonight, just for a little bit. Tonight I want you to turn your Bibles to Luke. The fourth chapter. Tonight our text is, our lesson is going to be the joy set before him.
My Lord.
He had to die a cruel death so that I could live. And am I worthy? Am I living up to my responsibility? He had to die a cruel death so that I,
my Lord,
could live.
Yes, sir.
Before I could have the gift that Jesus said in John 4 and verse number 10, woman, if you only knew the gift that God has for you, And if you only knew who was standing here and who I am, if you only knew the gift. And so I thought about it and I said, Lord, you know what? God, you have done so much. And I have done so less. See, I can't speak for you, but I can speak for me.
All right, speak.
I have done so less. Amen. So look what the Bible says. Go to Luke 4. In verse number 14. Then Jesus returned to Galilee, filled with the Holy Spirit, filled with the gift. This is Jesus. He was filled with the Holy Spirit's power. Reports about him spread quickly through the whole region. He taught regularly in the synagogues and was praised by everyone. When he came to the village of Nazareth, his boyhood home, he went as usual to the synagogue on the Sabbath and stood up to read the scriptures. The scroll of Isaiah the prophet was handed to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where this was written. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that captives be released.
Well,
that's me in there, to be released.
Hello.
He says the Spirit is on me. That the blind might see.
Amen.
That's me.
Yeah.
That's me. That the oppressed will be set back free. That's me. And that the time of the Lord's favor has finally come.
Right.
Thank you. Thank you. The time of the Lord has finally come. And so now, tonight, turn your Bibles to Hebrews 12.
All right.
This is where we're going to deal with tonight.
Yeah.
Because before, I just believe the Lord put it on my heart today that I must die
right
so that you can live. I believe tonight if I can somehow convey or communicate his death to you, maybe then you will stop refusing, or those of us that reject the gift,
Lord help us,
will take his gift.
Yes.
Will allow the Spirit to work in us.
Amen.
That we might be the church that he purchased with his own blood.
Yes.
See, I don't believe in little things. I believe in big things.
Big and big, brother. Go ahead.
I truly believe, church, tonight that we can do anything through Christ Jesus.
Yes, sir. What it says for the book.
That strengthens me. I believe that.
All right. Good love.
So tonight, maybe we need to go to the cross for a moment.
All right, let's go.
Maybe we need to go to the cross for a moment. Hebrews 12. In verse number 1, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down.
Yeah.
Especially the sin that so easily tempts us up.
Yeah.
Let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. And then look at watch what he says. And let us run with the endurance the race God has set before us.
Yes,
we do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus. The champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy set before him.
Right.
Now watch this here, church.
Because
of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross,
yes,
disregarding its shame.
Yes,
now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. Think of all the hostility tonight. Think of all the hostility this man endured. All that he endured from sinful people. Oh, help me somebody. Then you won't become weary and give up. If I could just think about all that he endured. You got to put it, you got to make it personal tonight. He endured it for me. All that he endured, the shame of the cross. He did it for me. And if I can make it personal tonight, then I won't give up. I won't grow weary and faint. I keep all preaching the gospel. I keep all preaching the power of the cross. If I think about what he did for me and why he did it for me. He did it for me. Did he do it for you? He did it for you. Raise your hand. Let me see. Amen. Well, tonight, maybe y'all will get the message. Amen. Realizing that he did it for you.
Put it out there.
He endured the shame of the cross for me. That disregarded. He disregarded the same. For who? For me.
Yeah.
Watch what the text says. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding his shame. Now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. Think of all the hostility he endured from sinful people. Then you won't become weary and give up.
Yeah.
After all, you have not yet given your life in your struggle against sin. You ain't gave up your life.
Man.
You ain't died yet. You ain't died. You ain't struggled.
Tell it.
We haven't struggled.
Man,
we fat cats.
Amen, brother.
We ain't struggled.
Man.
We eat too much and giggle about it.
Yeah.
Two-thirds of the world is hungry.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we blessed in this country.
Yeah.
We ain't struggled. But my Lord and your Lord, he struggled. But guess what? He didn't think about the struggle. What he thought about was you. He looked at the joy on the other side of the cross. That's why our Lord, they say he was like a sheep, an old dumb sheep being led to the slaughter. He never opened his mouth. Why was he able to endure that cross? Why was he able to endure that cross? Why? Why did he see the joy on the other side?
This question.
Because in Luke 4, it tells us that he was filled.
Tells about it. All I've been to do
with the gift. If I'm filled with the gift tonight, I don't look at this mediocrity. I don't look at this mess. I don't look at this junk. I don't look at this whatever suffering I might be going through.
Lord.
I get up in the morning, if it be God's will, and I do it all over again, just like my Lord and your Lord did.
Amen.
I won't be complaining about coming out on the weekends.
All right.
Complaining about coming out, Brother Prewitt preached too long. I won't be complaining about that, brother. That old long-winded preacher from me back. Why? Watch this. Because guess what? When the Spirit is filling me, my whole life is about the other side.
Mm-hmm.
Won't be worried about trying to stay alive. I won't be in the gym 24 hours a day.
Well,
and ain't giving God no time.
Well,
I won't worry about saving my 401k,
mm-hmm.
having $1 million stuck up in the bank.
Well,
and when I die, them old cankerous kids just gonna spend it all anyway.
Well,
I won't be worried about that stuff. What I'd be worried about is that one day I'll be able to meet my Lord and my Savior.
Amen.
One day I'll be able to be like old Thomas. I say, let me see the prince.
Yeah, that's
because I know you did it all for me.
Amen.
I know you did it all for me. And watch this now. When we think of the horrible terrors of the cross, our minds immediately race to the attitude of Jesus himself.
Amen.
What was his attitude towards his death?
Yeah.
As he approached that event, how did he think about it?
Mm-hmm.
How did Jesus prepare himself mentally for the awful experience of execution? How did he do it? Hebrews 12:2 says that he was the author, the beginner, or progenitor of our faith. and the perfecter, the finisher, the one who finalized and completed our faith.
Amen.
He created the place where we stand from start to finish.
Amen.
One arresting feature of this verse is his answer to the question.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of mindset did it take for Jesus to complete this redemption for me?
Mm-hmm.
This insightful verse tells us that he focused on the set before him. In other words, he looked to the salvation that would come from what he was about to undergo.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus didn't look at the cross.
No, sir.
Jesus
no.
looked at the salvation that was on the other side
yeah.
of the cross.
No.
He concentrated on the great good that his suffering would bring to all of humanity. Jesus thought about me and you
yeah.
as they took him to that cross.
My Lord.
It wasn't about his suffering.
Yeah.
It was about Brother Leggett, and it was about Brother Prewitt, and about Brother Demps, and it was about all of us.
Right, brother.
His mind was on me.
Yes, thank God.
His mind was on me.
Amen.
As they led him away, his mind was on me. It wasn't on the cross.
Right.
And he said, I love them so much that I came just for this moment. Think about this, church. A woman who is expecting a baby finds encouragement and strength by looking beyond the pain
mm-hmm.
of actual childbirth, that she knows what lies ahead of her.
Yeah.
You know, what's on her mind is that child that one day will come out, and that child...
Mm-hmm.
So she forgets about the pain.
Man.
She don't worry about the pain.
Mm-hmm.
She don't think about that. She got to go through it for 9 months. Y'all think about that.
My Lord.
She go through it. She complain all the way, but she go through it. And she'll have one, and she'll have two, and she'll have three, and she'll have four kids.
Yeah, well.
Think about a cancer patient.
Mm-hmm.
Cancer patient, he don't think about the cancer.
Mm-hmm.
He thinks about recovery.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thinks about what's ahead of him. He don't think about the long-term rehabilitation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He thinks about what's ahead of him. The fact that he got the hope, the possibility that he'll get well.
Oh, yes, sir.
Jesus didn't think about the cross.
Well,
but he knew that he had to face that terrible, terrible death.
Yeah.
Right. So, church, watch this here. In a similar way, this text says that for the joy set before Jesus,
yes, sir.
Jesus went to the cross instead of being possessed by the terror.
Mm-hmm.
He anticipated his trial.
Mm-hmm.
Focusing on the gain, Jesus embraced the pain.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Focusing on the gain,
mm-hmm.
right. Your Lord and my Lord, he embraced the pain.
Yeah.
This text says that he endured the cross.
Endured it.
Underscore in your mind tonight. I want you to underscore in your mind the word endure.
Mm-hmm.
It is a word that means he to bear patiently.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus came into the world to be crucified.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you got to think about this tonight. Bear it in your mind tonight.
Amen.
If you knew you were born
mm-hmm.
to die.
Uh-huh.
You knew you were born to die on a cross.
Yeah.
If you knew that you were born to be brutalized
mm-hmm.
all night.
Mm-hmm.
If you knew that you were that this shadow of the cross was always illuminating before you.
Yeah.
Can you think about Jesus as he walked through the streets of Jerusalem, outside of Jerusalem,
mm-hmm.
out there at Golgotha,
mm-hmm.
from time to time, and he seen men being executed,
mm-hmm.
and knowing that that's where he was going to end up at.
Yeah.
And he had to see and witness this day after the day of his life.
Man.
Every day of his life, he knew that this day was coming.
Yeah.
And he knew that he had committed no sin.
Mm-hmm.
And he knew that no guile was ever found in his mouth.
Mm-hmm.
But he knew that he had to die. It was before him every day.
Man.
Every single day of his life.
Yeah.
He already knew that he was going to die. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
He began and he continued his earthly ministry with the realization that it would culminate in his violent and excruciating death.
Yes, sir.
When he passed by some criminals who was being executed by crucifixion in public view and was still lingering in agony,
mm-hmm.
more dead than alive,
mm-hmm.
Jesus perhaps looked at him and thought, that type of death is my destiny.
Yes, sir.
For this purpose I have come into the world.
Mm-hmm.
The joy. The joy, church.
Mm-hmm.
How did Jesus handle this realization of his coming death? How did he prepare his mind? How did he prepare himself to face this death?
Mm-hmm.
Hebrews 12:2 enables us to look into Jesus' mind. We see how he formulated his attitude.
Yes.
He looked at the joy that was set before him.
Mm-hmm.
The joy here mentions that he embraced the celebration
mm-hmm.
of salvation that the cross would bring to the world of sinners.
Yes.
Jesus knew that he would bring many signs of glory
mm-hmm.
through his death.
Yes.
Maybe he pictured the redeemed of all the ages gathering around God's throne,
mm-hmm.
praising God for his grace and for his mercy,
yes.
praising God for eternity,
yes.
praising God.
Yeah.
This joy that sustained him was set before him
yeah.
in God's great eternal purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Joy had already been put into place.
Yeah.
And that's what Jesus focused on.
Yeah.
Jesus, church, let me tell you, he looked to that joy.
Yeah.
Instead of focusing on the cross, Jesus looked to that joy.
Yeah.
Because you know what? Jesus knew that we all would be here tonight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Jesus knew that we all would be here. Jesus knew that we all need him.
Yeah.
Every man in this world needs Jesus.
Yeah.
Every man needs him. And he knew this.
Better believe it.
And so Jesus could look down the plank of time and see us tonight.
Sure enough.
And knew that we need him.
Yeah.
And we need to understand why he went to that cross.
Mm-hmm.
He went to that cross for you and he went to the cross for me.
Yes,
he went to the cross for sinners like me.
Sure.
He went to the cross that I might have life.
Sure.
He had to die so that I could live.
Yeah.
And not only that, when he went to the cross, he left a gift for me.
Mm-hmm.
He left a gift.
Mm-hmm.
He left a gift that would supernaturally empower me.
Yeah.
A gift that I could love where there is no love.
Yeah.
A gift where I could find joy where there is no joy.
Yeah.
A gift where I could find peace that surpasses human understanding.
Yeah.
He went to the cross that I might have it.
Sure.
Went to the cross that I might have life and that I might have it more.
My Lord,
he went to the cross for me.
My Lord.
I need to understand that. And he left me this beautiful gift.
Yeah.
The gift of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
All he asks me is that I receive the gift.
Amen.
Take the gift.
Amen.
And use the gift. And let the gift empower me.
Amen.
Oh, the joy that was set before this man.
Amen.
This man had to live a life.
Mm-hmm.
And they brutalized him. And they hurt him. But Jesus could see on the other side of the cross.
Amen.
Jesus could see me tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to say thank you, Father.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord, for seeing me. Because yes, I once was lost,
yes.
but never found.
Amen.
Yes, I was blind, Lord knows, but I see it now.
Amen.
Thank you, God. Thank you for looking on the other side of that cross. Because if it had been me or some of us, boy, I'd have been snitching and ratting and everything else.
Lord.
The Bible says he never opened his mouth.
Yeah.
He never opened his mouth.
Right. Right.
Why? Because he's seen the joy.
Mm-hmm.
He's seen the joy on the other side. Is that all right?
Yeah.
Jesus looked to the joy.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of mindset does a truly righteous person have?
Mm-hmm.
He is focused, church, upon joy.
Amen.
Even in the worst, in the face of the worst that our minds can imagine.
Amen.
The Spirit of the Lord
tells
us, don't worry about it.
Amen.
Even when the storms in life come up, don't worry about it.
Amen.
Because I heard my Lord one day tell them disciples, are you of little faith? And they woke him up in the back of the boat.
Yeah.
When Jesus got up and Jesus got up and he said to the wind, peace. Be still.
Yeah,
peace be still.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it. Storms are going to come up in your life. But look at the joy on the other side. Let's look at the joy. Psalmist says in Psalms 30 and verse number 5, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. I tell you, church, oh yeah, your night might be long sometimes, but joy is coming in the morning. Why? Because you got
glory.
Because Jesus looked on the other side of the cross. Amen. Jesus had an elevated view of his life. Of his life, his work, and God's eternal purpose. He did not look at the hardship. Jesus didn't look at the pain.
Yes.
Jesus, he didn't look at the suffering. Instead, he filled his mind.
Mm-hmm.
He filled his mind with glory.
Mm-hmm.
With glory, church. What is your mind filled with tonight?
Good question.
Amen.
That's a good question.
What is my mind filled with tonight?
Mm-hmm.
Is my mind filled with glory?
Mm-hmm.
Is my mind filled with one day I'll be able to walk down the streets paved?
Mm-hmm.
Go. Is my mind filled with God will take away all of my tears? What is my mind filled with tonight? See, as long as my mind is filled is focused in on the pain and the suffering. The pain and the suffering take me away from the glory. And when it takes me away from the glory, it takes me away from my Lord. That's why the church don't praise God, because we focus in on the jobs. Focus in on the more bad kids. Focus in on that I'm broke. You ain't never broke, because Jesus told them disciples, and lo, I am with you even unto the end of the world. You ain't never broke. You ain't never alone. Folks talking about, oh, I need a man, I need a piece of man. You better just get the man, Jesus. You ain't never alone. Amen. I'm trying to tell you something tonight. I'm trying to tell you something. We gotta start focusing in on this mess.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to start focusing in on the glory.
Yes.
Boy, let me tell you something. If my mind was stayed on heaven,
mm-hmm.
I guarantee you I would never get caught up in the mess.
No.
If I understood what heaven is like,
mm-hmm.
I would never get caught up.
Lord,
I wouldn't have time, because see, I don't want to miss heaven.
Amen.
My mind should be set. And as Jesus' mind was set on the glory, his mind was set on salvation. I told you, a lot of folks sit up in the church think they saved. No, you just in the church. You ain't saved till Jesus said, well done. It ain't over with until he says, well done. Running around here like you say.
Mm-hmm.
No, you just working out. You just working out, trying to get bumped up so that you can enter in. So my mind should always be set on the glory. My mind ought to always be set on heaven. Think about the joy.
Amen.
Think about what Jesus Christ done.
Yeah.
Amen. Church, we got to start thinking about what Christ has done for us.
Yeah,
what God has done for us.
Yeah.
Jesus had an elevated view of his life. He had an elevated view of his work. He had an elevated view of his eternal purpose.
Mm-hmm.
He did not look at the hardships. He didn't look at the pain.
Yes, Lord.
Much of the good in life lies beyond the valley of suffering, people.
Mm-hmm.
Much of the good in this life lies beyond the valley of suffering.
Right.
We have to walk through Golgotha,
mm-hmm.
to get to the garden of the resurrection.
Amen.
We have to walk through the suffering. We got to walk through the pain,
mm-hmm.
to get to the garden of resurrection.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
We got to walk through this, church. We got to stop complaining so much. We ain't got no reason to complain. If you're going through something, it's because God wants you to go through it. God is preparing you for something. If you're going through something, your mind ought to be set on the glory. I'm going through it because God wants me to go through it. Because I need to go through it. Because I need to go through this to get to where God needs me to be. God can't deal with no weak folk. God don't deal with weak folk. He make weak folk strong so that he can deal with them. Is that all right? So that he can use them. That's why he went out and got them 12 thugs. That's why he went straight to the ghetto, went straight to the hood and got 12 thugs. He can't use no weak men. I told you, brothers, God can't use no weak men. Amen.
Amen.
So, church, we got to stop complaining so much about these little trivial things. We got to take the Spirit and allow the Spirit to empower us. Amen. The Spirit must empower us. Amen. So that the Holy Spirit can guide. Let Him guide you tonight. To truth. Let the Holy Spirit guide you.
Amen.
That's why Jesus told the woman at the well back in our text. Mm-hmm. That's why Jesus told her. And you know, He says, woman, the time is coming.
Mm-hmm.
And the time is right now.
Yeah.
And God is seeking true worshipers.
Yeah.
Those that will worship Him in spirit and in truth.
Amen.
For God is spirit.
Yeah.
And they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Church, the Holy Spirit must empower us to guide us to the truth.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. We must learn to live with tomorrow's grace in our hearts. Church, we must learn to live with tomorrow's grace in our heart.
Amen.
Abraham did not let the nomadic lifestyle bother him. For he was looking for the city which has foundations, who architect and builders God.
Yes, sir.
He didn't like the fact that he never had a house.
Amen.
That he was a nomadic fellow. The man just, he was traveling all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But he was a rich man too.
Amen.
But he never worried about that.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't hear. Some of us can't live in apartments. You gotta have a 7, 8, 9, 10 bedroom house. Our mind is not focused. Our mind is not focused on the glory. Our mind is focused on material things. And as a result, the church is suffering. I'm suffering, you suffering, and everybody else is suffering. Because our mind is not set on the joy that is set before us. Won't it be wonderful? Won't it be wonderful over there? Won't it be wonderful over there? And that's where my mind needs to stay. I need to understand what this is all about. I need to focus in on tomorrow's grace. Whether I die tonight or not, but tomorrow is always going to be full of grace. Why? Because if I die in the Lord, if I die right with God tonight, guess what? I'm going to be in His grace when He returns and the ground open up and the dead rises up to meet Him up in the air. I want to be one of them. Amen.
Amen.
I don't care what you say. You might not have a tomorrow living, but you're going to sure have one day. Everybody going to rise. Everybody going to rise up out the grave. Amen. So don't ever talk about you ain't got tomorrow. You better focus in on tomorrow's grace.
Amen.
Focus in on the glory of God. Take my mind off of these worries. That's why Jesus could say in the book of Matthew 6:33, He says, don't worry about tomorrow. Let tomorrow take care of itself. There is a tomorrow.
Yes, Lord.
And our mind ought to be focused on the grace of God tomorrow.
Amen.
Focus on the glory.
Yes.
Boy, if I could focus on the glory every day, tell me, I tell you what. Boy, Sister Willie, I wouldn't be in as much trouble I've been in my lifetime.
Amen.
I keep myself out of trouble. See why? Because I don't want to miss heaven. But I'm going to tell you something. Most of us don't even think about what heaven is all about. We don't think about the fact that one day we might be able to see our loved ones.
All right.
We don't think about one day. God will wipe away every tear. We don't think about it. So as a result, we go just like there is no tomorrow. And I'm going to get all that I can get tonight. I'm going to act a fool today. And if tomorrow comes, I'm going to repent. That's called willful sin. And the Bible says in Hebrews, I think it's 10:26, ain't no more sacrifice for you. You're through. Ain't that right, brother? Preacher man, no, that ain't that right, preacher. Amen. We got to understand. We got to start looking at the glory. See, Jesus was looking at God.
Yeah.
And as He looked up and looked beyond the cross, He looked up past the first and second. He went up to the third heaven.
Go ahead, preacher. Yes, Lord.
As he looked around, he understood something. He understood that one day all of us can be there with him. He looked at the joy of salvation. He looked at me. See, I know that little knucklehead boy in about 2,000 years is going to come along, and he needs my help. See, it's personal for me. If I told you where I came from, you probably wouldn't like me. Because see, y'all, some folks still judgmental because they ain't got the gift. They told the gift, I don't want you. I told you last night by default, when you run around here lying, stealing, killing, and cheating, and beating up folk and all of those things, I told you by default, Satan is your daddy. A lot of us, like I told you last night, a lot of us have adopted Satan. And then a lot of us have took on a stepdaddy. He's been our stepdaddy so long, now we think he our real daddy. The more we live, the more hell. How in the world can you just keep on living and get more hell up in you? Get old and just full of hell. Why you get old and get full of hell? You should have did that when you were young. You're supposed to be mellow when you get old. Somebody say something to you. Your word is supposed to be seasoned with grace. But boy, you say something to some of these folks and you be scared to talk to them. What's up? Scared to talk to them. Why? Because they took Satan for their stepdaddy, and now they think he's real daddy. Think he's a real daddy. See, because church, what I'm trying to get us to see is this here. I'm trying to get us to see. We got to stop looking at this. And we got to start looking up beyond this. Yeah. Yeah. We got to start looking at the glory.
Yes.
If every one of us in here tonight just started looking at the glory. Oh, yeah. If our eyes was on heaven tonight.
Yeah. Oh, Jesus.
If my eyes was on, one day I'm going to come face to face with him.
Hello.
One day I'm going to come face to face with him.
Yeah.
One day our writers won't. Oh, Arthur won't have me no
longer.
I don't have to worry about dying from cancer.
Hallelujah.
I don't have to worry about this worldly system any longer. That's where I have to look. And when the pain and when the suffering comes, I can look back and say, Lord, you know what? The Holy Spirit, He guided me and He empowered me and He showed me that you said that you will not allow me to be tempted beyond that in which I am able to bear. And with all of this, He says, I will give you a way of escape. God said it. But I don't believe it. Because my daddy says, look, you got to take care of this right now. But my daddy, the Holy Spirit, said, be patient, young man. And stand still.
Stand still.
And wait.
Yes,
on the Lord.
Yes, sir.
No. I got to get this taken care of right now, brother.
Yes,
you know how we do it? You know, especially us preachers. Yes, let me deal with the preachers for about one second.
Go ahead.
All your preachers up in here now, you know, I.
We need
brother
more.
Loma's got my back.
We need more.
Preachers.
Yes.
Preachers.
Yes.
We got to start telling our people what it really is. And what I mean by this here, we got to tell our people that, first of all, they must be empowered by the Holy Spirit. And we need to start calling people out. We need to start telling people, you know what, you ain't operating like the Holy Spirit is your Father. You're not operating like you got no faith. You see, preachers, we need to stop trying to do everything ourselves.
Amen, brother. Amen.
If they don't want to do it,
amen.
If they don't want to do it, preachers. I'm telling some preachers.
All right.
If they don't want to do it, preachers.
Mm-hmm.
Find somebody that do.
Well,
Jesus says if they don't receive you, do what? So I'm saying to all of you guys, if y'all don't want it, don't try and kill the preacher.
Yeah.
Because they done almost killed me. I'm almost dead. Did y'all know that? They done almost wiped me out. Well, see, I had to learn. I had to learn, church. And so now I don't look at this mess. What I look at, I look beyond. I look beyond this stuff. We must live, church. We must learn. And I need you to hear this. We must learn to live with tomorrow's grace in our hearts. We need to learn to live with tomorrow's grace in our hearts. Moses, he cast his life and future with the people of God to suffer as they suffer. But he was looking to the reward. And guess what, preachers? Them folk caused Moses to stay. They had to bury Moses up on Mount Nebo. Preachers, you better learn this stuff.
Amen.
Moses was looking at the Canaan land.
Yes, he was.
Moses marched with him for 40 years.
Mm-hmm.
Moses was an old man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Moses was 120 when they got there on the brink of the Jordan.
Right. Yes, sir. Yeah.
But they kept on bugging this man.
Yeah, Lord.
You know how them old cankerous brothers and sisters come to you and they just bug you. Why can't we do this? Why can't we have that? Well, we ain't got no money for it. Wait on the Lord. They ain't got time to wait. Got Moses so upset. Got him so upset. Moses just started beating on that rock. Cost that man his entrance into the promised land. God took him up on Mount Nebo and said, look, there it is. Ain't it beautiful? But he couldn't go in. Look, people will cost you your salvation if you don't keep your eyes focused on the prize that awaits you. You got to keep your eyes focused on Jesus. Stop focusing in on people.
My Lord.
You keep your eyes focused on the Lord. Keep your eyes focused on the glory. People will take you straight to hell with gasoline draws on. Take you straight to hell. People will do that. We cannot allow people to take our minds, our focus off of the glory, church. We need to understand why he died for us. Paul looked to the crown of righteousness that awaited him on the other side of execution. Second Timothy 4:8, Paul says, I fought. For the good fight, I've kept the faith.
Yes,
I finished my course. I finished this course. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. Not only to me, but for all of those who believe in his appearance. Paul's eyes was focused on, he was focused on the cross, because if he was not focused on glory, Paul will have lost it.
Yeah.
Paul will have lost it.
Mm-hmm.
Because Satan never stopped attacking Paul.
That's right.
Romans 7, Paul struggled.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Sure enough.
Paul says, in 2 Corinthians, Paul says, a thorn was given to me. I was buffeted by Satan.
Yes. Yes, sir.
Satan will come out and shoot at you.
Mm-hmm. Sure enough.
That's Satan's job.
Yeah.
And he's on his job every single day, every hour of the day.
Amen.
While we sitting up watching Desperate Housewife, or we sitting up watching some other old funny looking show, we sitting up watching all that mess on TV, and guess what? Satan is all in my mind.
Well,
we sitting up reading all the old crazy magazines.
Mm-hmm.
Satan all in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
Where's the Bible at? Where's it at? Satan is all in my mind. He's taking my mind off of the glory. My mind is on this earthly stuff now. We sitting up listening to all these old rappers. You young folk, you old folk too, y'all listening to that stuff. But you young folk, listen to all of that rap stuff. Listen to all that old mess talking about, you know, talking about how disrespecting women. Disrespecting authority. Anti-Jesus Christ. Because Jay-Z is a devil worshiper. All you got to do is go look it up. He's a devil worshiper. Beyonce, a devil worshiper. And all of them boys, Michael Jackson, and all of them. Illuminati. All of them. Illuminati, that's the back. Look on the back of your dollar bill. They're all CNI.
Amen. Take the picture of
it.
Well,
destroy our mind.
Mm-hmm.
Ain't no way in the world anybody's supposed to love being called the B word.
Well,
but they, when you call them the B, they shake even more. John says you better test the spirits. They're trying to bring in the new world order, and they're bringing it in through our music. Through our music changes cultures. Look at these young boys walking around with their pants around their hips. That's a homosexual God. And they loving it. Boys walking around, yeah, what kind of mess is that? With they little dirty, they little dirty shorts out. With their butt sticking out. Now you know that's homosexual stuff. Them homosexuals in prison, that's they dress. Changing our mind. Look at these games that our children are playing. These are natural born killers we're raising today. And that's why these kids now is going off to war. And they're doing a real good job, aren't they? And they're training less. Why? Because they've been in that simulator since they were little bitty boys and girls. They ready. And we're not talking about this stuff in the church. But this is why Jesus Christ went to the cross. So that we might be saved. And we are losing our young babies, and we're losing our young folk.
Lord help us.
We are handing them off to these. We are handing them to Satan. And Paul talks about these strongholds when he talks about wrestling against principalities and spirits and demons and all of this stuff and power. Who do you think he's talking about? Talking about all of these secret societies that's running us.
My Lord.
And let me tell you something. Let me, while I'm here, I'm just going to stay here for a minute. What time? Oh, I got a few moments. Let me just stay here for a minute. You know, let me tell you something.
All right.
All of these secret societies is taking over this. Took over the world. There's 17 families that run the world. The DuPonts, the Kennedys, and you can go on. You know most of their names. I ain't got time to name them all, but I can. You know. It's 17 families that run the world. We don't run nothing. Our vote don't mean nothing. The president is a puppet position.
Amen.
If you never knew it before, you should have known it with this whole thing. Now, I'm not going to get into the political, but what I want us to see is, the power. What we're wrestling up against. They have taken our minds away from the glory. Why? Because, you know why? Because we are not filled. If we're not empowered by the Holy Spirit, we're going to fall right into their trap.
Yeah.
And I guarantee you right now, and I don't know any of you, I don't go in your homes, but I can guarantee you right now, you got a TV in every room. I can guarantee you got VCRs, DVRs, and all that stuff in every room. I guarantee you got computers in every room, hooked up to every internet that you can get. You got all of this stuff, and I guarantee you, you buy your kids all of these games and all of that stuff, I guarantee it. Our mind is being taken from the glory. And what's sad about it is, us preachers, we're not talking about it. Because our preachers, our leaders are not filled with the Spirit. Most of them just get the paycheck. Well, yeah, I know I said it, but it's out there now. So most of them just getting a paycheck. And then the ones that ain't getting a paycheck, they don't care. And you can't blame them. They broke. They got to work every day. I'm one of them preachers, but I do care. As long as I'm in it, that's why I don't mind telling the truth. I have nothing to protect but my salvation. Now, our minds are being controlled and dominated by this hip-hop culture.
Well,
did y'all notice when Michael Jackson died, did y'all notice that he took over the whole media thing? But there was a two-part to that. Number one was that's the power of these secret societies, because he's a part of Illuminati and the Freemasons. Freemasons is a part of Illuminati. And a lot of us in the church is in the Freemasons, aren't we? Anti-Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Antichrist.
Right, that's true.
So
that's true.
That was one part of it. Then the other part was your government. When he died, guess what they did? They unleashed the media on him, and then under the umbrella at night, they began to pass and sign all of these laws into effect. Cap and trade they ran. Number two was, guess what else they signed into effect? That's going to affect you and me. And that is, they made homosexuals. To talk about a homosexual, a hate crime. From the pulpit, you cannot talk about that because it's becoming a hate crime. And they passed that in the middle of the night. See, that's how they're trying to tear down the church. Now, I said all of that to say this. At some point, we're going to have to go underground as they did in the first century. Lord, don't you think that it can't happen? Because it's happening right this moment as we sit here. The church is getting ready to go underground again. But I question this. The Church of Christ won't survive.
Amen.
We can't get along on top of the ground.
It's gonna survive, bro.
Well, the church in of itself is going to survive. It's going to survive. Yeah, the church in of itself. But will we survive?
Good question.
Will we survive? Will we survive?
Good question.
If we have to go underground as the first century did, if we have to worship God by night, if we have to talk in codes as they did, and that's why God gave them the book of Revelation. That's why I gave them symbols and signs. Apocalyptic language so that they could survive. That's why Revelation, it looks forward, yes, but it also looks back. That's why they had to understand Daniel, and they had to understand Isaiah, they had to understand Ezekiel, the prophets.
Alright.
You see how they are taking our minds. And the more they take our minds away from glory, the more they take our minds away from the cross. The weaker we become. We're becoming so weak, it hurts. It hurts. That we won't look at this stuff. Some will leave tonight and say, well, he's not preaching, he's preaching for a doctor.
Well,
I'm just trying to teach you.
All right.
I'm just trying to tell you that it's coming, people. It's coming, and it's coming so fast.
Amen.
Don't you know they have taken out right now that the federal government will not even defend same-sex marriage at a federal level. They stopped it. Now, when that becomes a, when they pass it and get it to the Senate, people, don't you realize? And y'all might say I'm crazy, but I'm just gonna tell you.
Go ahead.
Once they pass that stuff and get it to the federal level, because right now it's at the state level.
Yes.
It's on each state.
Yes.
Now y'all say homosexuality ain't in the Bible.
It is.
Well, read your Bible.
That's right.
Leviticus 18. Read your Bible. Leviticus 22. Read your Bible. Romans 1. Read the Bible, 1 Corinthians 6.
Yeah.
It's there.
Yes,
and it's wrong. It is an abomination to God. And let me tell you something. Once they get that thing to a federal level, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. You know what? And now that it's a hate crime to talk against homosexuality, you know what? When one walk up in here, get the switch in and tell me, you got to marry me and my mate. You got to marry me. And I say no. Don't you know if he bring a lawsuit against me, we lose everything.
Amen.
Hello.
And the first thing that goes is our 501c.
Yeah.
And when the 501c goes, guess what? You know we're in trouble. Mm-hmm. We got to pay taxes on these little $3-4.
Mm-hmm. Well, mm-hmm. No, Lord. Oh,
don't tax the preacher. Mm-hmm. He already ain't making no money. Don't tax him on that.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
But church, this is what's coming. Mm-hmm. And you know what? If we're not ready for it, mm-hmm. if we're not ready for it, church,
mm-hmm.
what about all these little babies? What happens to them? This is on our watch.
Mm-hmm.
What do we do? You see how Satan get our mind away from glory? You know, he got us suffering on the pain. He got us focusing in on the pain. He got us focusing in on the suffering. He got us focusing in on all the money. He got us focusing in on the material things. He got us focusing in on all of that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yes, sir.
And have taken our minds away from the cross.
Yeah.
We don't think about heaven.
Lord,
we don't think about that.
Lord, help us.
And so as a result, we don't do the things to get us to heaven.
Amen, brother. Amen.
I think about sometimes these little bitty babies. I say, now, you know, these brothers have fought with me for the last 7-8 years. Mm-hmm. Nobody know we in the neighborhood. Nobody knows. What am I going to leave these kids? What are we going to leave these babies? What are we going to leave these babies? These are questions that we got to start. We got to start looking at this stuff.
Yeah.
What are we going to leave them?
Mm-hmm.
What will the church? What kind of shape will the church be in
mm-hmm.
in 20 years if we continue like this?
Lord help us.
I asked the question tonight. Last night I said, who up in this church tonight is just tired?
Mm-hmm.
And the whole church raised their hand except for a couple.
Because
mm-hmm. we are tired. We are tired. We got all these beautiful kids and we just handed them over to the world.
Mm-hmm. Lord help us.
I asked you last night, why don't we have our own schools?
Mm-hmm.
We say the world is bad, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
Well, why don't we have our own schools?
Mm-hmm.
Why don't we have our own hospitals?
Well,
why? You know why? Because, see, we're trying to do it. And we're not empowered
mm-hmm.
by the Spirit.
Man.
That was the reason Jesus went to the cross.
Mm-hmm.
Now think of all the hostility, church.
Mm-hmm.
He endured for sinful people like you and me.
Man.
Think about all of the hostility that he endured.
Mm-hmm.
You won't become weary if you think about that.
Yeah.
When we face hardships and discouragement, it is easy to lose sight of the big picture.
Well,
but we're not alone. We're not alone in this church. In Romans 8 and verse number 26,
mm-hmm.
and in the way the Spirit also helps our weaknesses.
Mm-hmm.
And we do not know how to pray as we should sometimes.
Lord.
But the Spirit Himself, He intercedes with us. He intercedes for us and He groans words that we can't even understand. Why? Because He loves us so much. Why? Because that is His job. That's His job, church. We're not in this thing alone. When we are weak, the Holy Spirit gives us the power. He lifts us up. When we are down and they are counting us out, it's the Holy Spirit that gets us up. When we have fallen as far as we can fall down,
yes,
it's the Holy Spirit that gets us up.
Amen.
When we are in so much trouble in our lives, when trouble is on every corner, Amen. And we don't know what to ask God for, Amen. Have you ever been like that?
Amen.
Lay down on your bed at night and you don't know what to say to God.
Amen.
All you can say is, God, help!
Yes,
that's when the Holy Spirit goes to work for you.
Amen.
We're not in this thing alone. We can do this, church. We can do it if we let Him go to work for us.
Let go and let God.
Let Him. Let God work in our lives, church. When the world has turned against us. When everybody has fallen against us. When all the money is gone. When my health have failed me.
My Lord.
When everybody seems to be dying around me.
Yes, sir.
I am constantly in grieving. When the loved ones is going on. And I don't know what to pray for.
Right.
He's there.
Yeah. He's there.
He's right there.
There.
When I'm sick.
Yes, sir.
When I can't see tomorrow. All of my hope sometimes. When sometimes I just don't know which way to move. I think about Jesus and I think about it. I said, Lord, you did it all for me and you gave it to me. And I know, God, that he's working for me. When I know that he's working for me, it's then that I began to get up.
Amen.
When everything, just nothing seems to be going right. That's where he was.
Oh, yeah.
When I'm so tired that I can't take another step. When I know that I've fallen. It's being that when he picks me up. It's being that he carries me.
Oh, yeah.
And I've been hurt. Everything gone. And I've become confused. Everybody seems to have just walked away. You know how they get. They get buttons when you're up.
Well.
Now I'm down and everybody is leaving. It's being that he comforts me. It's being that when he said, brother,
praise his name,
it's going to be alright.
Amen.
And I don't know where to turn. He directs my path.
Amen.
When all is done.
Oh, yeah.
It's being that he comes in and he takes my prayers from my heart.
Well,
that I have not even spoken.
Well,
that I don't even know what to say. He takes my prayers and he takes them to God.
Yes, sir.
I don't know what to say.
Mm-hmm.
But he knows what to say.
He sure does.
Church. Our minds have got to focus in on the Holy Spirit. When the helper comes, whom Jesus says, whom I will send, he's a helper, church.
Yeah.
Everybody needs a little help.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you ever think you don't need help.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody needs help.
Yeah.
Think about Jesus and what he done for you.
Yeah.
Not only did he die for you, but he said, I'm going to die for you and I'm going to leave you a piece of me.
Yeah.
That's how much I love you. I'm going to leave you a piece of me. I'm not going to leave you, Stephen, or I'm not going to leave you, Paul. I'm not going to leave you, Luke. I'm not going to leave you, any of the apostles. I'm going to leave you a piece of me. Because in order for you to get through all of the opposition that Satan got for you, you're going to need me. Man can't do it. When he looked around heaven, the angels couldn't come down and do it. So he had to manifest himself and come down. And he said, I'm going to die for you. And when I die for you, I'm going to leave you something. I'm going to leave you a free gift. I'm going to leave you this gift. And when I leave you this gift, I'm going to empower you that the help that you need is there. What's the problem? Why don't we have you?
Yes.
Putting him out of our life, quenching him, shooting a fire extinguisher. What's wrong with me? He loved me so much, he says, I'm going to suffer, I'm going to die, and guess what? And I'm going to do all of that, and when I do all of that, I'm going to leave me.
Sure.
He didn't leave just anything or anybody. God left himself.
Yes. Yes.
That's why Paul says, God lives in me.
Oh, yes.
When I defile this temple, I'm sinning against God.
Lord.
Because God lives in me in church. Y'all want to see the church grow? Allow the Holy Spirit. Let him just have his way.
Mm-hmm.
What about just letting the Holy Spirit?
Oh.
What about a little love in the house?
My Lord.
See, the only way we're going to ever have love in the house, we got to look beyond this mess and look at glory.
Mm-hmm.
We have to look at glory. We can't look at this world no longer.
Mm-hmm.
We have to look at glory. Amen. We got to keep our eyes focused on God. What about a little joy? See, in order, if you're going to ever have joy, you got to first have love.
Lord.
And joy, let me tell you something. Joy, that's Jesus. That's us.
Mm-hmm.
And you.
Well,
you see where you at?
Mm-hmm.
You see where you are?
Yes, sir.
You're number three. My eyes is to be focused on glory.
Mm-hmm.
And if my eyes is focused on glory, my eyes will be focused on you.
Amen.
Because Jesus came. Didn't we just read in Luke 4? What he came to set the captives free.
Sure.
To set him free. Why? Because he said, the Bible says he was filled with the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
See, when you feel with the Holy Spirit, what you want to do is help somebody.
Mm-hmm.
But when I'm not filled with the Holy Spirit, when I don't have the Holy Spirit, it's all about me. It's how much I can get. It's how big my car is. How pretty my house is. It's how pretty my suits are. It's how much my shoes cost. It's how much I got in my pocket. That's what it's all about.
Amen.
See, when I'm not filled with the Holy Spirit, let me bring it to the church a little bit. When I'm not filled with the Holy Spirit, I don't give according to my prosperity.
Right.
I always find an excuse. I ain't buying the preacher another Cadillac. Well, you ever know that preacher might just work for that Cadillac?
Amen.
It ain't your business where he got it from. God didn't say give it to the preacher. He said give it to me.
Amen.
But when you're not filled with the Spirit, these are the types of things that come in your mind. See, your mind is taken from glory. Mm-hmm. But see, if my mind was on glory, I would give 10, 20, 30, 40, 50%.
Mm-hmm.
And we get mad at denominational folks because they tithe.
Well,
I ain't mad at them. Mm-hmm. I ain't mad at them. Amen.
Right.
I ain't mad at them. Because, you know, we're talking about that nail to the cross. Well, let's give then.
Amen.
Who told you that? Let us give. See, if we're in the Spirit, we know that under the old dispensation, they gave 10%. We under a better dispensation, I think we should ought to give a little bit better then, shouldn't we? 10% should be our standard. And if the church, everybody gave 10% of what they worth, not 10% of what they made, but 10% of who they are, I guarantee you, the church would have money running over.
Amen.
Bible says, pressed down, shaking, and running over. I guarantee you.
Mm-hmm.
But see, when you're in the mind of the Spirit, see, folks get mad when you preach about money.
Yes.
You know why?
Yes.
Because they're not in the Spirit.
Amen.
Let's bring it to the church.
Amen.
See, when your mind is filled with the Spirit, amen, ain't nothing you know for a fact. There is nothing you can't do.
Amen.
Thursday night, I'm going to preach to you all. I'm going to preach to y'all on the church.
Amen.
And I'm going to use Matthew 16 and verse number 18.
Mm-hmm.
The church that Christ promised.
Yeah.
And I want to reveal the church in Acts 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and on.
Right.
God had in mind.
Mm-hmm.
And I guarantee you, after you leave here Thursday,
mm-hmm.
I guarantee you,
mm-hmm.
you'll see the church in a different light.
My Lord.
Because we got to do better.
Praise the Lord. Praise God.
We have got to do better, church. Amen. Now watch this as we close. We're going to close. I ain't going to keep you late tonight. Amen. Suffering is the training ground. Suffering is the training ground, church, for Christian maturity.
Amen.
It develops our patience and it makes our victory sweet.
Yes, sir.
We must understand, church. Beyond the cross, Jesus could see his glorious church.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus had told those disciples in Matthew 16 and verse number 18, upon this rock, he says, I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it.
My Lord.
Yes. After God's suffering, after Jesus' suffering, he would sit down at God's right hand.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome in many sons into eternal glory.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus knew that the time was now.
Yes.
Beyond the pain and the shame that we must suffer,
mm-hmm.
we must understand that lies ahead of us, church,
mm-hmm.
is eternal life.
Amen.
We cannot take our eyes off of eternal life.
Amen.
We must keep our eyes focused on the glory of God. All of us must sit. All of us must stand.
Right.
All of us must walk. All of us must run. All of us must do everything that we can possibly do to make heaven our home. Our eyes must be focused on Christ. We must put all of this other stuff behind us tonight, and we must keep our eyes focused on the mark. We must keep our eyes focused on Jesus. We must think about church. We must look at the fact that this man came all the way from heaven's glory, and this man died a death beyond our comprehension. He did it for all of us. We must understand tonight, church, the joy that was set before him. That joy was my joy tonight. That joy was my salvation. And we must keep our eyes focused on that joy. Because the moment that we lose salvation, church, and then that's why all of this other stuff takes root in us.
My Lord.
We must keep our eyes focused.
Yes, sir.
Keep our minds, our hearts focused on God.
Amen.
And what he done.
Yes, sir.
That's why we don't embrace the Holy Spirit.
My Lord.
Because we don't believe. We just don't believe. We don't have no respect for God. We done lost all respect for God. We come into church in a hurry. That's why I preach so long. That's why I've been trying to keep y'all here as long as possible. Always in a hurry. And we'll work overtime. We'll sit down and watch 3 movies. Eat popcorn and go on a diet tomorrow. Go shopping. Walk the malls all day. Ain't got a dime. Shine your car. I do shine my car. Shine your car. All day. Take honey. I hope y'all take honey. Out to dinner. 65, 75. Take the kids to Disney World. $400. All day. Just go anywhere you want to go. Go to Vegas. I don't gamble, but that's the first thing come out of. You know how we do it. I don't gamble, boy. I just go for the buffets. Man, you ain't got to drive that far to eat nothing. Go to Baronga. That's the name of it, right? Baronga. All up there in the VA hop. Speaking Indian. Losing your money.
Yeah.
Talking about, well, I sure had fun. Boy, that's some heck of a fun there. I don't know how. I ain't never had fun losing nothing. All up there in the Indian reservation. Y'all know y'all be in the gambling casino. He just gambling. I repent, son. Then you get broke up in the casino. Then you come to church and then you tell my Lord, I repent. Y'all pray for us. Get your check on Monday, Tuesday, back up in the casino. Broke the next Sunday. Lord! Get that check on Saturday, run up in here on Friday, on Sunday, give up a dollar. This is my bingo money. Always in a hurry. When it comes to God, we always in a hurry.
Sure enough.
Preachers preach 30 minutes because they scared the folk gonna get mad. I don't care. Get mad. I'm a preacher. I fall out. Ain't no way in the world I can preach all the hell out of these folks in no 30 minutes. Ain't that good? Everybody watching the clock. Watch the clock. Everybody watching the clock. Because my mind ain't on the clock. Jesus never watched time.
Amen.
He left his Rolex in heaven. He's living in heaven and he never wants time. Watch this now. If I don't have it right, y'all tell. 168 hours in a week. Am I wrong? Y'all got your little gizmos and add it up. 168 hours in a week. We come to the house of praise, five from 168 leaves how many? 160. How many? You got 163 hours and you rushing me, telling me to get out the pulpit? You don't lost your mind. Get up and leave, because I'm going to stay up here till I fall out. Out of 168 hours, all we give God is about 5 hours in the house of praise. And I'm pushing the fire. Add it up. Come back in the evening and we rushing God. Well, why come back? Why come back? And we rushing God. What if he had rushed that cross? But he didn't, did he? He took his time, didn't he? He followed the order of things. Man, when we come to the worship service, we ought to be up in here, and we get mad at the denomination folks because they up in there 4, 5, 6 hours. Man, them folks is having some fun. Maybe if we was having fun, maybe we'd stick around a little bit longer. Everybody sitting up on pins and needles. You ain't having fun. Sitting up scared, don't know. Well, should I clap? Should I clap my feet? Should I move this way? Can I say amen? That's supposed to talking too much back then. What about God? Oh, I'm sick of that preacher. I know some of you sitting up in there now. Look at it. He just gone. He done told me he was going to quit. But that brother told me 9 o'clock. I'm going to give you. I'm going to set up in a minute. 168 hours. You give God 5 and you want me to set up? You shouldn't invite me down. That brother, y'all talk to Loma. Loma done brought me down here. You woke up there, well, I preach it, they be shit. But they done got used to it. Because I'm trying to get them to see. You got to focus on Jesus. Man, let me tell you, when I come up in here, I can stay all day and all night, long as y'all ain't cussing and fussing at me. Now, if you get rough, I'll leave. Because I can't fight. You see, I don't weigh but a buck. I can't fight. I ain't going to be fighting with you big old fellas, but let me tell you something. I love God. When I think about the joy that was set before him, when I think about what God has done to me, man, I will stay in this house all day and all night, and I'll get up and do it again all day tomorrow. Amen. When I think about what he has done for me, I could be on 30th and Imperial. I could be sitting on the sidewalk with a needle or something in my arm. I could be in a flat house right now. Better than that, I could be in my grave. And he went to the cross. And the joy that was set before him had my name written on it. Little knucklehead Elgin Freeway Jr. Had my social security number written on it. Had my address on it. Because I didn't know where I lived. And I'm a rush God. I'm a rush God. I ain't got no patience for God. Fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Ha, y'all know the word patience.
Put that at the top of the board. A lot of people don't have that.
We ain't got no patience for God.
Hallelujah.
Ain't got no patience with each other.
Amen.
He was filled with the Spirit, and that's why he could go to the cross. That's why he could look at the joy that was set before him.
Amen.
When you are filled with the Spirit, you don't look at this stuff.
Amen.
You don't look at our suffering, our pain. You don't look at folk like they're crazy.
Mm-hmm.
You don't become judgmental of people.
Amen.
Everybody don't think like me. Everybody don't look like me. Everybody don't smell like me. I stink. Some folks smell good. Just don't sit too close to me. That's all. And if you don't smell too good, that's all right. I'm going to hug you.
Well,
I grab you, squeeze you.
Well,
I might even give you a holy kiss. My sister told me last night, give me a holy kiss. I kiss you too.
All right.
Well, I'm trying to tell you something. We got a long ways to go, but we got a short time to get there, people.
Better believe it. Yes, sir.
Amen. Anybody got any questions for me tonight? Anything that I've said through the course of this week? You got any questions for me? Let's build a dialogue. You got questions for me? Anything I said that, you know, anything. Do you have anything, any questions concerning your salvation? If I don't have a question, Brother Leggett got it. If Leggett ain't got it, Dimps got it. If Dimps ain't got it, Cutting Dog got it. Them Cutting Dog boys, them are bad boys. And if they ain't got it, you know Big Papa back there. You know Big Daddy. Big Daddy back there in the back.
Well,
Big Daddy Loma's got it.
Right.
The church. This is about us.
Amen.
This is about us taking our eyes off of this stuff and setting our eyes on the joy.
Amen.
On the other side.
Amen.
Every one of us should look forward to dying.
Mm-hmm.
But we do everything to try and stay alive.
Because
we just don't know.
Amen.
But Jesus knew what was awaiting him.
Amen.
And we ought to know what's awaiting us.
Mm-hmm.
But boy, we try and do everything in the world. We take every pill they got in the drugstore.
Mm-hmm.
You ever go up there to CVS or Rite Aid or one of them. You stand in the line. Everybody up in there talking about they Christians.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. I'm getting my pills today. Hallelujah. I'm getting my meds today. Hallelujah. Trying to stay alive. Trying to stay alive. He already 730,000, he's 700 years old, still trying to stay alive. Well, and that's why I tell you, look, don't save all your money because you're going to spend it. I'm going to tell you something. You're going to spend it. You're going to spend it. That money going to go. You're going to either give it to the more kids going to get it, or you're going to spend it on all this old high medication. Might as well give it to the Lord and let the Lord make a way. Because the Lord is going to make a way. That's why I say we as the church, we are in the world, but we're not of the world, and we ought to be self-sustaining. When our folk get old, they ought not have to worry about medicating, Medicaid. What they ought to worry about is Jesus' care. That's what they ought to worry about. They ought to worry about Jesus' care. Amen? So if you're here tonight, you're not a family, you're not a child of God's family. You're not empowered with the Holy Spirit tonight. I encourage you to come up front tonight. Give me your hand and give God your heart. And you know, you can get the Holy Spirit tonight. We'll baptize you and God will add to you His gift of the Holy Spirit. And you can do that by believing the facts of the gospel. The Bible says in Romans 10:17, so then faith coming by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And then you must believe what you hear. The Bible says in Hebrews 11 and verse number 6, without faith, it's impossible to please Him.
Yeah.
He that comes to God must believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. And then after that, one must repent. In other words, one must make a mental decision tonight. Say, look, you know what? I don't have the gift living in me. I'm not empowered by the Holy Spirit. I'm not a child of God, so I'm going to change directions tonight. But then you're not saved.
Right.
You're not even at it yet.
Right.
A lot of folks say, just repent and go about your way, and you're a Christian. That's not true.
No, sir.
So the Bible says that one time God winked at this ignorance over in Acts 17:30. He says, but now God commands all men everywhere to repent.
Yeah.
Jesus says, I tell you nay, in Luke 13 and 8, I tell you nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. You don't repent.
Right.
You don't turn. Change directions.
Right.
If you don't repent tonight, you're going to burn. You've got to go to hell.
Amen.
Then after that, you must confess the sweetest name on mortal tongue, and that is Jesus Christ to be the Son of God. The Bible says in Matthew 10:32 and 33, whosoever asks for one shall confess me before men, he says, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever denied me before men, him will I deny before my Father which is in heaven. And then after that sweet confession, the best name on mortal tongue, one must be baptized in water for the remission of his sin. Now this might not look like a pool, but that thing is deep, got a lot of water in it, and we can bury you tonight. And when we bury you, you'll come up. The Bible says in Acts 2 and verse number 38 that you will have the gift of the Holy Spirit. And you will be empowered. You will have God living in you tonight. And then when you get up and come up out of that water, you are a new creation. The old man is gone. God will wipe away every sin that you have done. He will give you a new slate tonight. You can come up and you can be much like that old Ethiopian when he came up out of the water. The Bible said that old boy was just a skipping along. Amen. He was rejoicing. Why? Because he realized at that point he had been empowered with the Holy Spirit. He was in the body of Christ and he was on his way to heaven. But he wasn't in heaven yet. Amen. The Bible says in Revelation 2 and verse number 10, after all of that,
yes,
you must live a faithful life,
faithful,
until death. And then you can, and only then shall you receive the crown. Hey, not a way. So you can be in the church and still go to hell.
Yes.
But if you live faithful,
yes, my Lord,
faithful, Bible says your works don't follow you. Let us stand and sing a song of encouragement. Come.